Good morning, Shoshana.
Good morning, Parthenia.
It is so wonderful, as I mentioned to you earlier, having someone like yourself on the program. We are primarily about alternative medicine therapies, but it's very rare that we have a guest who is able to speak from so many different aspects of alternative medicine. So thank you for getting all of that training.
I'm listening to it, and it's amazing to have gone through all that, and there's such a richness of information and experience that has come. So my training is as holistic as my work.
Exactly. Now, where are you from, Shoshana?
Originally from Wallingford, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay, right. You're one of a native Pennsylvanian. As a child, did you have any special interest or exposure to acupuncture, herbs, Tai Chi, Qigong, massage, or energy medicine?
Not really. I was an athlete and very interested in traditional sports and got my master's degree in sports medicine. But my earliest experience being very attracted to anything Chinese was when I would go into Chinatown in Philadelphia and go into those small stores that had all the Chinese art, and it's always been a great attraction for me. And as a child, I played a Chinese girl in a play and was all dressed up in Oriental clothing. So, and I looked, the way I looked, people used to think that I was Asian. So I think that it started very young, even though I wasn't aware of it.
Very nice. Okay, well, what was the first exposure or first interest for you in any of these items?
When I moved out to California in 1974, I saw people doing these very different movements in the panhandle of San Francisco. And because I was an athlete who had just lost all my teams after playing collegiate tennis and field hockey and basketball, I was missing a group to move with and exercise with, so I got very attracted to the group, and I started my interest in Chinese medicine over 30 years ago by getting involved in the practice of Tai Chi and Qigong, which I would practice during those first 10, 15 years, 4 to 6 hours a day.
Oh, my. Okay, we're going to take a bit of a pause as I explain some things to the listening audience, but we'll come back to that when we return. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard, the program sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. Visit my website at www.amtherapies.com or call 610-687-6184. Here's live on the Internet by clicking the Seventh Wave Network link on my site. Now, people, I want to take a moment to let you know that I went to Nemacolin this past week. They treat you like royalty. You have to go. Now, once you go, of course, you're not going to be able to go to any of the hotels or resorts that you've ever gone to before. There's so much to share and so much to explain about this wonderful resort that I'm going to actually have to give you bits and pieces over different shows over a period of time. But I had to let you know that I had that wonderful experience. I also want to let you know that this month marks our first anniversary here at WWDB, and we're going to have a special program the first weekend in May featuring Sidney Poitier, where he's going to share some words of wisdom, and we're going to feature words of wisdom from some of our previous guests, and you're going to get the wonderful treat of hearing some of my words of wisdom. But I'm really looking forward to that anniversary program and wanted to give you a heads up about that. Now, I also want to remind you that our guest today is Shoshana Katzman, and she's the author of Qigong for Staying Young. And we're going to talk about the guidance, the special guidance that she offers for women, as well as, you know, Qigong in general. And if you want to call and ask her any questions, call 866-909-9855. Okay, thank you. Now, one other thing I want to tell you. When you do go to Nemacolin, you have to experience eating at their Le Trek restaurant. I'll tell you more about that later. Okay, next week we're going to start something special called Alt Med Trivia. And winners of that will get a comprehensive initial visit at one-sixth the cost that the average person pays. Okay, we're back with Shoshana. Give us a little more information about how those first, was it 10 years, manifested into all the rest of these things that you're involved with.
Practicing Tai Chi and Qigong is an aspect, it's a branch of traditional Chinese medicine, one that you can do for yourself so you can create self-healing in your body through the practice of Qigong and these very gentle movements that integrate with your breath and open up the flow of vital energy Qi in your body. But you can also have your vital energy opened up and your blood strengthened through receiving acupuncture. So traditionally in China, practitioners of Tai Chi and Qigong would become practitioners of acupuncture because they would themselves open up their flow and get themselves very balanced. And then they, in turn, would use acupuncture needles, very fine stainless steel needles inserted into meridian pathways to open up another person's vital energy flow. So that's how I got into acupuncture, because it's a traditional path for Tai Chi and Qigong practitioners and teachers.
I see. And then the herbs?
The herbs are part the another branch of traditional Chinese medicine. And the herbs are substances that are either taken in the form of tea or tincture or pill that work more internally with the qi flow, opening up the meridians and affecting releasing wind from the body, and they work more internally, where the acupuncture works more externally with mostly the meridians. And so that's the other aspect. Just like in Tai Chi and Qigong and Kung Fu is more of an external form of movement in Chinese forms of exercise, and Tai Chi and Qigong are more internal. So the same thing in Chinese medicine, where the herbs are more internal and the acupuncture is a more external application.
Okay, and then the massage?
The massage is more working with the meridians, and it's a part of Qigong. When you practice Qigong, you do self-massage on yourself and self-acupressure, and the fingertips go into the same points that the acupuncture needles do. However, you're using pressure. So it's a way to treat yourself, or some people go to a Chinese acupressurist or someone that does Tuan Na massage, which is ancient Chinese massage, to also move the flow of energy through the energy pathways called meridians.
Okay, so then in reality, these are all kinds of energy medicine.
Exactly.
And so hence, I guess you went even further along into other kinds of energy medicine.
Exactly. And then I study with a woman named Christine Schenk. I go to Germany to study with her, and she has taught me a system of energy body therapy where I work with people and teach them how to create a connection, a very strong connection between their energetic body and their physical body. And the reason that works so well with the Chinese medicine is because acupuncture points, the meridians, are an aspect of the energy body, along with the energy centers, chakras, discs, and other very highly rotating material that makes up the energy body anatomy and physiology.
Okay, and what is qi?
Qi is vital energy. It's the life force that flows through every living being.
And gong?
Gong means to cultivate or work. So the two together, the qi gong, is to work or cultivate your qi.
Now, most people are very familiar with yoga, I think. How would you compare the two?
Yoga is coming from Ayurvedic or Indian roots. The Qigong is coming from Chinese roots, although there are teachers that traveled thousands of years ago between the two areas, and so there is a similarity in how the movements work with the breath, and they are opening up the energy system of the body. It's just, I think of yoga more as focusing on the stretching aspects and using your own body parts to leverage against each other, whereas the Tai Chi and Qigong are mostly done standing on the feet and moving in a graceful, dance-like manner. So they just aesthetically look different, and they feel different to do as well.
Because even when you do a salutation in yoga, which connects a series of postures, it's still very different because you're up and down and all of that. But I thought that would help people, you know, sort of get a better handle on what Qigong is.
Yeah, there's more, it feels like there's more flowing, graceful, slow movements, one moving into the other. However, with Qigong, many people want to know the difference between Qigong and Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Tai Chi, you really need to learn from a teacher. Qigong's easier to learn from a book. They're more individual exercises, and they have more of a medical application. So in my 20-minute workout, I have one set that does this tapping, which is using a fist that's lightly closed, and you tap your body, and you're opening up the flow of qi in your meridians. Then there's bone marrow cleansing, where you use your mind intent to send water and then fire into your bones to purify and cleanse your bones. And then there's feeling, playing with the qi, where you're opening up the flow of qi in your body. And there's each one, standing meditation, where you're standing still and you're experiencing the movement within stillness, and you're balancing the yin and yang in your body. And then another set which cultivates the shen, which is the spirit, and another one that cleanses the organs by making five healing sounds.
Well, we're going to get to all of those in due time, believe me. I still wanted to get, before we get to that point, what precipitated the writing of the book? What is your primary objective with the book?
The book is focused on Qigong for women, although many hundreds, thousands of men are practicing it as well. It's just that as a woman coming up in Tai Chi and Qigong and Gong Fu, all of the books are written by men. It's a very male-dominated exercise. So I wanted to apply all of the principles that I learned to women, so women can empower themselves not only with the Qigong but also with Chinese medicine, because I explain how a woman can become stronger, more vital, and get younger even as she ages.
Okay, since you mentioned that, can you explain in a relatively simple way how Qigong keeps you young, especially if you're doing such a simple 20-minute workout?
It balances your hormones.
Ah, okay.
There's an exercise in the workout to balance the hormones. And as we know, as we age, hormones are one of the most important aspects of our body to keep strong and vital. It also strengthens your qi, your vital energy, which in turn strengthens your blood. And as women, as we get older, it's very important that we keep our blood nourished and that we keep our energy up, not only so that we have energy, but that our organs have energy and that our entire body is nourished with this energy. That's what keeps us healthy.
Oh, very good. And I also wanted to point out something that the person who did the preface or the foreword for your book, is it Roger Janka? Is that how you pronounce
it? Roger
Janka. He mentioned that, what is it, in the United States, 200 million people practice Qigong?
Exactly.
So people, this is something that is not very rare, and you probably, and she has a fabulous resource at the end of the book that lists locations and places where you can go to get training or, you know, get your initial practice going. So this is something that's a lot more popular than I think the average person thinks.
Yes, it is. And people can go on to the National Qigong Association website, which is nqa.org, to find a practitioner in their area.
Okay, and there was one other thing he said that was really, really interesting about harnessing the inner power of strength and surrender. And that's for both men and women.
Yes.
Can you elucidate a little bit on what that means to you?
It's very, very important that you have your own internal energy in a way that is yours. You know who you are. You have energy. You know your own power. and harness it in that you know what it is, but you don't necessarily release it and let go of it and let everybody else have it. You're not one of these people that gives up your power or gives up your energy easily. You know who you are, and you use it wisely and in a very gentle, loving way.
Wonderful. Okay. Any restrictions based on age or, health?
None whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Anyone, any age, any ability can do Qigong. That is the most beautiful thing about it. For my 80-plus students that come in here and don't feel at home in a gym or their whole life they couldn't really find an exercise that they could relate to, they love Qigong. Someone rehabilitating in a hospital, children love Qigong. And also the muscle builders, the athletes love it because it develops them internally, not just externally.
Okay, now you also mentioned in the book that 100 million in China practice in the parks early each day. Do you envision that happening in the United States?
I do.
I can see it. Yes, even now, riding along the Schuylkill River out here in Pennsylvania, you can see people doing similar forms of Qigong or some form of Tai Chi. So it would be a beautiful thing to see. And why the parks? Why is it advisable to practice out of doors?
When Qigong is created to take the energy from the heavens, and which is the yang energy from the heavens, and take the yin energy from the earth. The yin, the water, you can think of rivers and lakes and streams, bringing and that earth energy, bringing that up through your feet, in through your legs, up into your body, and then bringing the fire from the heavens to the top of your head and bringing that into your body, and then you mix it within yourself to invigorate and strengthen yourself. So Qigong is meant to bring in the forces of nature. So you're either in the house looking out at nature, if it's the weather's inclement or too cold to be out there, or you're out there communing with nature, taking the qi, the energy, into yourself from the trees, looking at that trunk of the tree and the branches of the tree and relating it to yourself and bringing that energy in to make you more balanced and healthier on this earth.
Oh my, okay. Now, can you share some statistics or case studies related to the health benefits of Qigong?
Qigong is very helpful when I'm working with my clients that are trying to get pregnant. I have the ovarian triangle exercise where they make a triangle right over their uterus, and they send energy from themselves to their uterus to get themselves nice and fertile and ready to conceive. People that have shoulder problems and they have frozen shoulders, I have them start very slow. I adapt the exercises for them, and they do very small motions at first until that range of motion improves. That's about the breath, the sounds, visualization, and self-massage.
Yes.
Well, breath is such an integral part of Qigong. When you do the 20-minute workout, you actually take 100 deep breaths by the time you finish. Slow, gentle, rhythmical, deep breaths. This not only connects you with yourself and centers you, but it increases the oxygenation of your body. Brings more oxygen to your lungs. You take deep breaths into your lower dantian, which is 2 inches below your belly button, which is really diaphragmatic breathing, and it brings your energy down. That's when you center with yourself. It relaxes the shoulders. It relaxes your whole body when you take these deep breaths. And then the breaths are integrated with the movement. So when you raise your hands up, which is raising the qi in your body, you're breathing in as your hands slowly flow upward. And then as your hands go downward, you're breathing out, which is sinking the qi. So you're breathing in and strengthening the breath as you increase the qi. And so the whole breathing technique is integrated with the movement.
Wonderful. Okay, now I'm going to skip some of about five questions I was going to ask and go to the some more that are specifically about the book. Your book is broken up into three parts. Part one explains the postures, ranging from 30-minute postures to 4-minute postures in 7 sets. And then part two aids for one's fine-tuning the practice and deepening understanding. And then part three has a symptom-focused approach for women, a step beyond the core workout. Could you, you know, sort of explain the postures, give an idea of the 7 sets as much as you can, and, you know, sort of talk about the 3 segments of your book?
Sure. The title of the book sounds like it's just a workout, but it's so much more than the workout.
Oh, my, yes.
It's like a course, a 101 course in Chinese medicine.
Most definitely.
So part one has the 160 pictures of the warm-up, the 7 sets, and the warm-down, and it tells you exactly how to do the movements. I have a DVD that I made as a companion to the book, which goes through the whole set without words. So you can just follow me, and then you use this first part. Like if you see me do something, like, what is she doing? You just go to that specific part of the book, and it tells you exactly when I'm breathing, exactly how I'm moving my arms and legs, etc. Now, people can learn the whole set from the book. Some people like to learn movements from the book. Some people just do the DVD. Some people use both. I think the best is to use both. Part two goes on to explain every single movement and what it's doing according to Chinese medicine. So when you're using your fists on your lower back, creating friction to begin to making the kidney sound, which detoxifies and releases fear from the kidneys, you'll read that in part two, which explains then what the kidneys do according to Chinese medicine, which I explained before. They are the root energy, and they spark the energy of your whole body. Then you go to part three, which is many different acupressure points, which I show on myself in pictures, and then I have anatomical drawings that show where these points are, so you can easily locate them, and I do describe them in layperson's terms. Then I go on with 25 symptoms such as anxiety, dryness, muscle tension and pain, gynecological problems, all these different problems, breathing problems, that you can read about what these problems are according to Chinese medicine, which again empowers you with the ancient principles of Chinese medicine. And then I tell you which Qigong movements from this set are good for that problem, and then I give you even more Qigong movements for the problem, and then suggestions about different foods and attitudinal ways of thinking about your life to change those symptoms and to bring more wellness and balance into your life.
Well, now, how often does one need to practice to experience benefits?
Ideally, once a day.
Okay.
But if you do it once a week, I'm a very flexible practitioner and teacher, whereas I feel if you're doing it once a week and you do that every week, that's 52 times a year. That's 52 times more than if you hadn't done it at all.
And
whatever you can do would be great.
And the best environment or the best setting for practice?
Clean air, a quiet environment. You don't necessarily want to do it watching TV or having a lot of noise around you or someone smoking there. Clean air, quiet environment, ideally outside with nature. In the morning is the best before everybody gets up, but lunchtime is great and right before bed. Some practitioners really love doing it when there's a storm happening, because you've got all that energy circulating around during a storm, and they grab that energy and use it for their practice.
And the best attire for practice?
Loose, comfortable clothing, sneakers. If you're in outdoors, you want to be on a natural surface rather than concrete. Like if you can stand on the earth or a wooden deck or something, that's better.
Okay, now you have a wonderful list of do's and don'ts in the book. Would you like to share some of those with us before we go to break?
One of the don'ts is don't practice if you're really, really angry about something.
Mm.
Try and work that out a little bit. Although if you're really conscious when you're working out, you can release that anger with a liver sound. As far as do, just have a regular practice. Stay very connected with yourself. You want to have your tongue on the roof of your mouth and your mouth closed and breathe in and out through your nose. You want to coordinate your body's movements with your breath. I was thinking that to remind people not to chew gum when they're practicing, and to not be interfered, you know, with the telephone or something. This is just a very quiet, private time that you give yourself each and every day, if you can, to reconnect with yourself and to strengthen and cultivate your energy. And I would like the listeners to know that anything is possible, and shoot for the stars, and you can feel fabulously energized and balanced and peaceful inside, and you can deal with stress. And Qigong is a way that you can do it for yourself. And it is like giving acupuncture to yourself without needles, where you're balancing the flow of energy through your body, strengthening your blood, balancing the yin and yang energies. And really, it's a way to help you make your day a lot brighter, a lot happier, more peaceful, and to have fabulous, fabulous energy throughout life.
Oh, thank you so much, Shoshana.